Amen. Great inventions. One of them is the cell phone. I forgot mine, so I had to borrow my wife's, and it's down here somewhere. Let me just get my wallet out. A couple of years ago, no, 5 years ago, I did not want to have one. I saw people using them all the time, and they seemed pretty busy, and I was like, I don't want one of those things. But when I went to the churches in San Diego that I had to pastor, they told me, you're going to have a lot of things going on, programs, and you're going to have to be contacting people. People are going to have to contact you, so get a cell phone. And I did. I got Verizon. And I've had Verizon ever since. Communication is very important for us human beings. But if you leave your cell phone at home, it's pretty hard to communicate. Has anybody had a low battery? Oh boy, especially like when you're talking to somebody, it's very important, and all of a sudden it starts going, deet, deet, and it's gone. And no way to call that person back. Or how about places up in the mountains where there is hardly any reception? Have you been there? And you try and try, and the only thing you hear is, hello, ha. And you're like, what are they saying? I can't understand. Cell phones come very handy. You can be long distances away, miles away, and you can call your parents, I'm okay, I arrived at grandma's. Or you can be very close by to somebody's home, somebody you know, give them a call. And again, if they're home, hi, I'm in town. Can I come visit? Yeah, sure. Convenient. But despite all these gadgets, all this technology, satellites, internet, TV, video projectors, microphones that are used to help us communicate effectively, we human beings have a very hard time doing that. Just this morning, my wife said, Samuel, can you get me? And so I brought her luggage. Here, what do you need this for? That's not what I was asking for. I'm asking for a hairpin. Oh, in Spanish sounds a little similar. Maletín and a pin. I said, oh, maletín. So I brought this luggage. Communication. If it's hard for us human beings to communicate with one another, how much harder is it for us to communicate with God? How much harder is it for God, the creator of the universe, to communicate with us human beings? You would think that would not be something difficult for God, but it is. He has a hard time speaking to us, having us just to listen a little bit of what he has to say. This week I heard something about communications that also caught my attention was Twitter went down for 2-3 hours and the world was panicking. I can't let people know what I'm doing. There was an overload of information. Some hackers got other computers to just send tons of information to Twitter, and it took them out. Does God have that problem too sometimes? Do we live in a world overloaded with information, with noise? Does our battery run low many times to communicate with God? Our prayer life, is it just short? Fast, quick. And God doesn't have enough time to tell us what he's thinking? I find a story that illustrates this. John chapter 3 tells us the story of a man, a Pharisee. And if you have your Bibles, you can open them with me to John chapter 3, verse 1. A Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he took some time. I mean, he chose a perfect time to speak to Jesus. It was nighttime. I don't know about you, but when nighttime comes along, it's like time to take a break, right? Stop doing business. You stop doing what you usually do. You kind of relax a little bit. Good time to talk. And Jesus was in a garden. You know what Jesus was doing in a garden, right? He was praying. Outside of the city of Jerusalem was a garden by the name of Gethsemane with olive groves. The city was down below, all lit up with little lamps. But there was Jesus with Nicodemus, this beautiful garden, clear night sky, stars shining upon their faces. They could see each other. And they had time to talk to each other. Time to speak, to express what was in their heart. When was the last time you took time to be alone with a loved one and just open up your heart for hours, if needed, just to let that person know how much you appreciate them? Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus, we know you are a teacher. We know you are a rabbi. But Jesus, I am here tonight because I want to know more about you. Flattering, isn't it? Wow, here's somebody important, a ruler of the Jews, and he takes the time to come out here and he wants to know more about me. But it's interesting how Jesus answered Nicodemus. He did not say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am a teacher, come from God." He said, "Truly, truly," verse 3, "I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" "Jesus, what are you talking about? Why are you telling me this? Do you know who I am? I'm a Pharisee. I understand Scripture. I'm a leader in my congregation. Everybody knows me. In fact, my name, Nicodemus, means victory of the people. They admire me. And you're telling me that to see the kingdom, one needs to be born again?" Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Nicodemus was perplexed. He could not believe his ears. What was this man saying? Why was he talking to him in that way? But Jesus continued, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do you not know where it comes from and where it is going? So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." When the Bible emphasizes or repeats something a second time, what it does, it's kind of like underlines what it's saying. It puts it in bold. It tells the person who's reading it, pay attention. This is important. In fact, what I want to say that Jesus was telling Nicodemus is what the slogan for Verizon says. Can you hear me now? Nicodemus, can you hear me now? I know you came to see me, to find out who I am. But Nicodemus, in this dialogue, can you hear me now? Nicodemus sputtered. Verse 9. How can these things be? How? What do you mean I need to be born again? Something I can get from this passage is that it does not matter how many good things you've done in the past, how many good things you have done. You can't see the kingdom of God because of that. Doesn't matter how many bad things you've done in the past and how unworthy you feel about going about God's business. But if you're born of the Spirit, you can enter it. Amen? Amen? You can enter it. You can be part of it. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, verse 10, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" Verse 11, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Nicodemus, we've been talking about this for quite some time, but nobody in Jerusalem has heard us. In fact, I think there's no reception there. Something is going on. We bear witness of what we have seen. We tell you of what we have heard, but there's no response. Nobody's picking up. Nicodemus, can you hear me now? I can see Nicodemus struggling within, saying, who is this person? I'm here to find out, and he knows so much more about me. He knows so much more about what I need. Who is this person? Jesus was telling Nicodemus, if you want to know who I am, the only way you will know it's if you are born again. Nicodemus, you don't know who I am. You can't know who I am. You won't believe who I am unless the Spirit of God is in you. You need to see with new eyes. You need to listen with brand new ears. You need to live a brand new life, Nicodemus. Yes, we are born of the flesh. True? Can I see your hands? Born of the flesh. We like it. The things of the world. They appeal to our nature. We like to be part of it. But God wants us to be born of the Spirit so that we can cherish those things of the Spirit. Last week, lessons talked about loving God and loving others. Those eternal things. All the things of this world, what happens? Will pass away, will perish. But people who love God will live eternally. Will live eternally. Nicodemus, you need to be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Have you seen somebody filled with the Holy Spirit? Their faith is strong. They're not afraid of anything. They're ready to go where God calls them to go. Do what God calls them to do. They're here today and gone tomorrow. You don't know where they come from or where they're going. But one thing is sure, God is with them. Amen? They're full of the Spirit. They talk about God in such a way that it inspires others to follow. And Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, saying, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" Verse 12, "If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Nicodemus, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? At this point, Jesus decides to tell Nicodemus who he is. God's Holy Spirit was working in that man's heart. God's Holy Spirit was opening up his mind and his heart to see who was in front of him. Jesus said, verse 13, "And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Nicodemus, can you hear me now? Are you ready? I'm not just a rabbi. I'm not just a teacher. I am the Son of Man. I am the Lamb of God. I am Emmanuel, God with us. I am the Savior of the world. Nicodemus, can you hear me now? Nicodemus left that place. A changed man, a different man, a man full of the Holy Spirit. You see, if you spend time with God and you take the time to listen to what he says, you can't be the same. You can't remain the same person. You change. You're transformed into his image. You're transformed into his likeness. Nicodemus had an experience, and if you have your Bibles, open them up with me to John chapter 7, verse 45. John chapter 7, verse 45. He went back to his friends, they started noticing something about him. John chapter 7, verse 45 through 51. They had asked the Pharisees for some of the officers to go bring Jesus. But they themselves had also heard his words and were transformed. Verse 45 from John chapter 7 says, "The officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, 'Why did you not bring him?' The officers said, 'Never did a man speak the way this man speaks.' The Pharisees therefore answered them, 'You have not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this multitude, which does not know the law, is accursed.' But then Nicodemus responded and said to them, 'He who came to him before being one of them, our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?' They answered and said to him, 'You are not also from Galilee, are you?' His friends had noticed that something was different about Nicodemus. He was not the same. 'Are you also from the group of Galilee, Nicodemus?' But the transformation that took place in Nicodemus's heart would be revealed in John chapter 19. And if you have your Bibles, go with me there. John chapter 19. Verse 39 and 42. John 19, verses 39 through 42. And I read, "And Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there." Nicodemus came at a time to Jesus when his disciples had decided to run away, when everybody was scared to even mention him as a friend or as a follower of Jesus. When Jesus had been taken to the cross, crucified, that's when Nicodemus took his stand. Why? Why did Nicodemus do that? Because he was born again. Amen? He recognized this man is no ordinary man. This man is Jesus, the Messiah. This man came to give his life for me. He told me in the garden at nighttime, "Yes, Jesus, I heard you," Nicodemus was saying. "This is why I am here. I have brought this because I know what you said. You told me this would happen long time before it happened." The story of Nicodemus gives me the hope that if I want to know Jesus, I can know him. Amen? If I have that desire in my heart to speak to Jesus, he is willing to speak with me. Another thing I learned from the story of Nicodemus: is that God is willing to give me his Holy Spirit so that when he speaks, I, this mortal man, can listen. So when God says something, I, Samuel Nunez, can understand it. So so that when God tries to reveal his will to me, there's no load of information, no noise out here in the world, no lack of strength on my side to be able to understand and listen what God is trying to communicate to me. Amen? God is willing to give us of his Spirit so that we can be born again, so that we can see Jesus, recognize him for who he is, believe in him, and have everlasting life. Nicodemus heard Jesus. And God today tells us, Fallbrook Church, can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Amen.